adjourn. And we are now able to open the regular meeting of City Council for this Tuesday, January 3rd of 2012. And I call this meeting of City Council to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown.
Here.
Katie Capellini.
Here.
Doug Hainem.
Here.
Sandy Hussman.
Here.
Mark Lukey.
Here.
Todd Milner.
Here.
Mary Westfall.
Here.
All seven members of council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all of you to our council meeting this evening. There are agendas on the two side tables if you haven't already picked one up. If you wish to address council on a particular issue, please let me know by raising your hand and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I note that some of you were here for the swearing in of loved ones. It goes very quickly, doesn't it? And you're welcome to stay with us as long or as short as you choose. Don't feel bad about standing up and leaving. Just make sure that Sandy and Todd aren't unhappy about it. All right. We're going to go ahead with our agenda. The next agenda item is additions to the agenda. Mr. Milner, do you have any items for addition?
I have no additions, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council.
Mr. Mayor, yes.
Mr. Lukey.
At the very least, we need to schedule a Community Relations Committee meeting for a date after the 10th to select a new nominee for the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Well, let's put that on the agenda for Community Relations meeting set as 12A. Seeing no additional items from members of council, Mr. Eichenauer, I see you have an ordinance out here for us.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have proposed ordinance 8-2012 regarding pay adjustments.
We'll add that as agenda item 14. Mr. Smith?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Moll?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
I note that there is an additional information item here, E. It is the year-end report from the Division of Taxation, so just note that on your informational item list. That, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda for this evening is approved as amended. Brings us to approval of our meeting minutes from the last meeting held on December 19th. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any amendments, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the meeting of Savannah City Council of December 19th, 2011 be approved as submitted.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from our December 19th, 2011 meeting be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item 5. We're pleased tonight to welcome our city representative to the TARDA Board of Directors at council's invitation here tonight to give us an update on TARDA business. We appreciate you taking time from your schedule to be here. And I know you also attended the Chamber of Commerce meeting today when General Manager Jim Gee was the featured speaker at the Chamber luncheon.
Most timely lunch
was, I'm sure that wasn't by accident. But we appreciate the time that you give to our community. I heard at the meeting confirming that you are the chairman of the Finance Committee.
That's correct.
We appreciate that very much.
Thank you. I actually have the distinct pleasure of entering my sixth year as the representative from the city of Sylvania to the Charter Board, and I appreciate your confidence and trust in allowing me to serve the community in this way. For the most part, it's been a most enjoyable and pleasurable experience. However, time will only tell if at the end of 2012 I feel the same way. No, I'm just kidding. I look forward to the challenges at hand. I'm hoping my appearance this evening will be twofold. I would like to fill you in on the issues that is facing TARDA and how they may affect the service here to the Sylvania community. But also, I believe, with some of the issues that are going to be brought forth to TARDA, that I will be asked to add my input and opinion of how some of those issues should be handled. And I would like to make sure that my input is that reflects that of the City of Sylvania Council and not just that of Tom Ramsdell. So I look forward to your input this evening. First off, the main issue that's at hand is, as you are all aware, last June, Representative Gardner passed a bill which allowed for member communities of TARDA to opt out, as opposed to in the past, they had to request to opt out of TARDA and all other member entities had to agree. If one entity did not agree, that blocked the entire opt-out process. Now, with their request as put forth because of a vote of their members in their community, they can elect to opt out and notify TARDA, and within 6 months, TARDA would stop their service in that community. I'm sure you're also aware that two of those communities have already mentioned that they will place on their ballots in March the option to opt out to their voters, that being the City of Perrysburg and Sylvania Township. So immediately you need to ask, you know, how will that affect the City of Sylvania if either or both of those entities do indeed elect to opt out? I think there's two issues at hand. There's a financial issue, and there's also a social issue in how will it affect service. From a financial standpoint, TARDA looked at a worst-case scenario. There's basically been five communities who said they would consider or wait and see what happens from an opt-out process. Those communities would be Perrysburg, the City of Perrysburg, Sylvania Township, Spencer Township, Rossford, and Waterville. And TARDA, with their worst case scenario, said if all five of those entities were to opt out, what would be the financial effect to TARDA as a whole? And the net effect, meaning the loss of revenue and the loss or the need not to incur expenses because of the loss of revenue, the net effect would be about $500,000 difference to TARDA. Now, $500,000 seems like a lot of money, but when you're dealing with a $28 million budget like TARDA deals with, a $500,000 difference could be absorbed into TARDA without affecting service to the remaining members. You wouldn't see too drastically of a service change. From a social impact, meaning the availability of services, obviously TARDA would no longer go into or out of those two communities, which would not only affect the current residents of those communities, but it would affect the existing TARDA and remaining TARDA members not being able to gain access to those communities also. In Sylvania, as you're aware, TARDA provides four different types of services. They have their fixed route service, they have caller ride, they have tarps, and then they have the shuttle service for the, kind of like the muddy shuttle and the walleye shuttle. On our fixed line service, TARTA basically runs a service from Franklin Park Mall up Monroe Street to Lord's College, Flower Hospital, and I'm trying to think where else they...
Probably the Ability Center.
And the Ability Center. I don't think, from a financial standpoint, that line will be affected. However, because that line runs through the township, it will probably be diverted. Instead of going down Monroe Street, it will probably force TARTA to take the bus from the city of Sylvania, hop on the expressway, and take that to Franklin Park Mall, or Westtown Mall. The reason being is if TARTA runs a fixed line, by federal law, they have to operate TARPS service within a 3/4 radius of that fixed line. So if TARTA ran down Monroe Street through Sylvania Township, they would be required to offer TARPS services within a 3/4 mile radius of the Monroe Street corridor. So by them hopping on to the expressway and bypassing Monroe Street, they would get around having to offer the TARP service to Sylvania Township. So that would be one change of the service on the fixed line route. Probably a larger impact is going to be the caller ride and the TARP services. Caller ride right now is just a service that a resident of Sylvania can call TARTA and obtain door-to-door bus service to an adjacent entity of the city of Sylvania. Right now, a resident of Sylvania can get caller ride and it will take them to Sylvania Township, Ottawa Hills, Spencer Township, and some parts of Toledo. I think we'll go as far as Sun Forest Court. Obviously, if Sylvania Township opts out, we will no longer take caller ride into Sylvania Township. Likewise with TARPS. TARPS is a door-to-door service for people with disabilities, and that has been a service-wide radius, meaning that somebody from the city of Sylvania could take TARPS all the way to East Toledo or all the way to Perrysburg, if that's where a doctor appointment was or something like that. And of course, if Perrysburg were to opt out, TARPS would no longer run from the city of Sylvania to Perrysburg. So I think that's probably the biggest impact, is that the city of Sylvania residents will not have access to any entity that opts out. It would be very difficult for TARTA to say, gee, we'll pick somebody up in Sylvania and take them to the township or to Perrysburg. I mean, obviously we can check to see that they're a resident of the city of Sylvania, but how would they ever get access back to Sylvania? How would we know we can go pick somebody up in the township and bring them back to Sylvania? It'd be a very difficult task for TARTA to accomplish. With regards to the shuttles, the muddy shuttle and the walleye shuttle, that basically right now starts at Centennial Terrace, and I think all they'd have to do is find another location for that to begin, and you know, maybe find something like Starlight Plaza or someplace where that to culminate. So those are the financial and social impacts of another entity opting out of TARTA and how it would affect Sylvania. Are there any questions on those? Okay, as I mentioned, I was hoping this would be twofold, and I've got a couple of questions for you. It just so happened on December 28th, Tarter received a letter from the city of Perrysburg. And this letter is basically saying that if they indeed opt out in March, Tarter will still be collecting taxes through 2012. The bylaws of Tarter says that once an entity opts out, Tarter will provide bus services for an additional 6 months. And the city of Perrysburg is saying, well, gee, if you're collecting taxes through 2012, would you continue to provide bus service through the end of 2012? Now, obviously, if they opt out in March and they notify us, we would stop service in October, and we would be collecting two more months' worth of taxes from the city of Perrysburg. But what you need to consider on your answer is if they defer putting this on the ballot till March, and they put it on their ballot in November, and they elect to opt out in November, we would technically be allowed to stop service next May. But because they didn't opt out until November, we could continue to collect taxes through all of 2013. So even though they wouldn't be having bus service as of May 2013, Tarter would still collect taxes because they have to collect it for the entire year. So what I kind of need to know from the council today is, what would be your opinion as to the leniency that Tarter should look at of allowing someone to opt out? Should we stick to our bylaws and say, look, you opted out, we're going to give you the 6 months that is required, and that is all? Or should we say, gee, we are collecting taxes throughout the entire year, therefore you should deserve service throughout the entire year? I'm not sure what the correct answer is there, and I'm looking forward to hearing your opinions.
Have they seen your bylaws? Have they asked to see the bylaws? Are they aware?
They are aware of our bylaws, yes. Their comment, if I may, was they think we have a moral obligation to continue to provide bus service.
So, Tom, I don't hear anywhere in your scenarios that either of these municipalities or everything in the paper is saying, rebate us the tax money. That's not come up.
Did they say what?
Rebate us the tax money we collected.
That is not an option. Okay. We don't have we've already contacted Lucas County. They have no means of rebating the money. There was some thought originally that they would take the money collected and use it for their own plan for bus service, but truly it's not a tax to the community for public transportation. It is a Tarter tax. The money collected has to go to Tarter, and Lucas County has said there's no way they can rebate it.
Yes. Can Tarter write a check to the community as a way of rebating it?
The problem is Tarter would not know how much of a check to write. That's what Lucas County is basically stating, is that they could not determine an amount that would be refundable. And I'm not sure we could write a check. I really don't know that.
I don't think it seems that unreasonable. If they want out, if they know the bylaws, then they lose the money. I mean, those are all options that they look at. And they still want to vote to be out. And I mean, you're going to suffer $500,000 every year afterward that they're not in. So I mean, it seems like they kind of owe you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How about as a middle ground? Could you provide TARP service during that time? While we figured out what they're going to deal with, do with that, and for our residents.
Yeah, if we're providing TARP service, we have to provide the fixed line service.
Why?
That's a federal requirement.
You can't do TARPs without doing fixed line.
That's my understanding, yes. I'll check and make sure.
I think you need a better lawyer.
Pardon me?
I think you need a better lawyer, and you know what, and I do tarps anyway, and let them sue you. Let's provide, the point is that we have a community here in our city that relies on tarps and that service into those communities. So I would like to see that service continued as long as possible. And I'd like you to be as aggressive as possible in terms of providing that service for as long as you can.
Okay. Which brings up another question that I wanted to pose to you this evening was, both communities have mentioned that they may be interested in contracting with certain services for TARDA. Right now, TARDA is allowed to technically charter as long as it's not to a private entity. So, for instance, TARDA currently has a, or in the past had a contract with Toledo Public Schools that has gone to the wayside with the Toledo Public School budget cuts. TARDA does have a bus contract with Owens Community College. And in fact, they have a contract just this year with the Sylvania Schools to transport some of Sylvania's disabled students to school. So technically, another entity could charter some private services with TARDA. The question would be, what is your feeling if TARDA were to entertain that? Of course, TARDA would have to figure out what fee to charge. I would think we would charge 100% of our cost along with some profit, and that there wouldn't be any type of discounts available to them. But I would need to know your feelings on if TARDA should entertain contract services with these entities, or should we say, when you opt out of all services, and we're not interested in providing any one of the four to you.
Yeah. Tom, you made a comment that Perrysburg sent you a letter that said you have a moral obligation not to.
The letter didn't actually say moral obligation. I know they made that comment at a meeting.
But it's, you know, I'm going to preface this by saying that do I feel that TARDA is run effectively and efficiently, and do changes need to be made? Yes. But there is also a moral obligation of all the citizens of our community in Northwestern Ohio to provide transportation to those people that need it. So, you know, in my opinion, they can't have their cake and eat it too. And, you know, if they opt out, they opt out. Both communities said, oh, we're going to have plans in place. Well, apparently they don't have plans in place. And now they're scrambling to try to find out what they can do. But, you know, my opinion, I think TARDA needs to be revamped and reviewed. But I do believe that Sylvania Township, Perrysburg, Rossford, all those communities do have an obligation to provide transportation for their citizens, especially the citizens in need. And if they want to opt out, you know, fine. But then they'll have to pay the price. I feel sorry for the residents of the city of Sylvania that won't be able to make it to doctors in Perrysburg, but maybe they'll find doctors within the service district. That's how I feel.
Thank you.
Tom, you know, I think these are fabulous questions, and I'm glad you're posing them to all of us. I certainly need time to think about it. But as I listen to these questions, I feel like they're really strategic decisions that should be happening at the TARDA board level. I don't know what your long-term vision is for TARDA and for transportation for our region. What we know is if we're going to be successful in attracting new businesses and continuing to be a viable market for employment and other opportunities, we need to have a strong regional transportation system. And we really look to TARDA and your board members to help figure out the best way to achieve those goals. So I think depending on what these other communities determine and whether you provide windows of opportunity for them to contract or to have their funds reimbursed to them in some capacity, I think we have to look at where you're trying to go and what is the best outcome in the long term to be able to put a regional transportation system in place in our Northwest Ohio area that makes a difference and allows us to attract strong employers and continue to do good business.
There's no question, a couple of the questions that I asked tonight may be a little premature. And as this year unfolds, when we find out exactly what happens in March and what position the other entities take, I will probably be back with a little bit more specifics and say, here's what's happening. I need to know your feelings here and there. I think you'll be seeing a little bit more of me this year than you have in the past.
Tom, I'm a big one for not reinventing the wheel, and it seems to me that some of these questions you're asking, it seems to me that the Charter Board should look at what other transportation systems across the country have done in situations like this. To me, that's the best way to make decisions, is to look what others have done before.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, TARDA is a little unique in that, in the way we are formed and our makeup, there really isn't another transportation agency quite like ours.
Nowhere in the United States?
Well, from the standpoint of how we're funded by property tax as opposed to a sales tax, we are the only one in the state of Ohio. There's just a few unique things. For instance, most other transportation agencies are countywide. It's rare to have a transportation agency where you have some members within the county belong to it, other members not belong to it. Then you couple the fact that two of our entities are actually in Wood County. There's just two or three things that make us a little bit unique. I agree with you that, we definitely are talking with other entities to see how they've handled it and trying to get input. And I'm just pointing out there are some things that make us a little bit unique, not that that would stop us from getting input, though.
If TARDA would have contract services with these communities who hope to opt out, would that allow your main line, your fixed line, to go back and go through Sylvania Township and that, so that our citizens in Sylvania would be better serviced?
I guess
something I would like to see if that's a possibility, because what I'm concerned about is the people in Sylvania who are dependent on the buses or want to be dependent. Maybe they don't need to be dependent, but maybe they want to be, especially if our gasoline prices are going to go skyrocket in the next few months. More people may want to ride TARDA, and I would like that to be available for our citizens. And what I think I'm understanding from you is that it's going to, the fixed lines are going to be jumping all over the place to stay out of Sylvania Township. That affects our folks.
Yes.
And it affects our citizens getting to appointments in Perrysburg or to jobs in Perrysburg or whatever they're doing. Everything between here and there.
Yeah.
So it's not a good system if we can't service our Sylvania citizens, Sylvania city citizens.
Sure. However, under your scenario, let's say we went ahead and contracted TARP services with Sylvania Township. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since we're already giving them TARP service, we could continue our line down Monroe Street as opposed to hopping on the expressway. Mm-hmm. Now, if we continue down Monroe Street, residents of the city of Sylvania could get on and off up and down Monroe Street, as could township residents. Mm-hmm. So basically,
build that into the town structure.
But the township opted out, and yet they still get the service.
But they don't want the citizens of Sylvania to have to pay a price because of what our neighbors are doing. I want us to look at this as a positive so that we can keep our citizens happy. That's what we're
So Doug, what you're saying is build the cost of running that fixed line into our TARP service that we charge to.
Absolutely. Here's what I would expect you to do in this situation. Is I'd expect you to enter into negotiations with these entities and make an economically sound decision and offer, keeping in mind that your job is to provide public transportation services to the remaining members in the community. It's a big deal for us if Sylvania Township pulls out. You know, we're the donut. We're the donut hole now. Okay? You're going to have to be creative. I urge you to be creative and aggressive in terms of figuring out ways to continue to provide quality public transportation services to the city of Sylvania under any circumstance. I don't care what the township does. Otherwise I'm going to be back here a year from now arguing that we should be voting to get out of the TARTA. So, you know, these are challenges, okay? But these are economic decisions. I would hope that you would look at these as economic opportunities. You know, make an offer and see what they get back. These communities are scared about being able to provide services to their folks too. Okay, and they're trying, and that's going to be an issue that they're going to have to deal with. So I would urge you to be flexible and aggressive in terms of meeting the goal of providing services to my constituents in the whole of the donut here. So if that means I've got some people in the township get to jump on and off on the bus on Monroe Street, well, the people in the city of Sylvania get to jump on and off there too, and those are the people I'm most concerned with. So I would urge you to to be open, flexible, aggressive, make sound economic decisions, and ultimately remember that what this is about is providing service to me and my neighbors.
Sure. But Doug, it's also about economics for our taxpayers, right? And maybe I don't know if I'm the final word here, but I guess the entrepreneur in me would encourage TARTA to not simply take the service that you've got, the way you do things now, rebundle it and sell it back to these two communities. I think the entrepreneur in me says, this is a great opportunity for TARTA to think about creating a for-profit subsidiary that provides a smaller, faster, more nimble kind of transportation service to these communities and makes money on it, right? If you can do that, I'm for it. In the meantime, I really have a problem with these communities wanting to cherry pick services from TARTA from this standpoint. You run at a fixed cost, right? You've already said that you're going to lose $500,000 out of your revenue stream to support that fixed cost, and it's probably going to go up in years to come, right? At some point, well, beginning immediately, assuming that you'll not totally be able to cover all of those costs with service, our taxpayers in the city of Sylvania are going to make up the difference in those fixed costs, right? Over the course of time, that they're going to continue to pay either by reduced services to the city, even though I agree with Doug that your primary goal should be to make sure that you provide them, or to face an ever-increasing property tax. Right? And either way, our residents, our taxpayers are going to get stuck. Right. And I don't want them to get stuck from the standpoint of you repackaging a service and selling it back to the people who are unwilling to support the tax right now. So I would strongly encourage you not to allow them to cherry pick your service.
Well, I'm comfortable with them cherry picking so long as they pay for it. Okay? And that means that they cover these overhead costs. They cover their share of the work. I mean, that's just a matter of, to my view, that's just a matter of the price. Okay, I don't feel. I mean, if they opt out and they want to buy your services back, then they're gonna have to pay for them, all of them, including that $500,000 of overhead or whatever that may be. And if that means that, and you know what I'm hearing from my friends in the township. Is that, you know, there are more economic ways of providing the same service. Well, that'll be interesting to see. The fact is they're very interested in talking to you about providing those services because I'm not sure those economics are real. And so I would expect TARTA to be, you know, economically wise and aggressive in terms of the, you know, like. I guarantee you, General Electric, we're running the bus service. They'd figure out how much they would charge Perrysburg and Sylvania Township to cherry pick those services. They might not like the price, but I guarantee you, they'd figure out what it was to make it work. And that's what I would hope you would do. I don't have, right now there are partners, okay? And we need to treat them as partners. Once they opt out, they're not our partners anymore. And we don't owe them the same sort of fiduciary duty that we do today. At that point, we need to remember who we do owe the fiduciary duty to. So I think Mary hit it right on the nose when she said these are decisions that your board has to make. My take on it is I keep things pretty loose and uncertain. I wouldn't provide any more certainty to those to those communities. They know what they've got, and they may be unhappy with it, but they have a structure in which they can have a voice to change it, fix it, make it better. If they opt out, then they lose that voice, and now they get whatever we're willing to offer.
Tom, just to clarify, Tarter will lose a lot more than $500,000 in income, but they'll lose $500,000 in bottom line because they also reduce their operating expenses. Have I got that right?
Correct. The net effect is a $500,000 loss to.
What's the loss of income? Isn't it more like $2.5 or $3 million, something like that?
Well, right now the Sylvania Township revenue is $1.9 million, and Perrysburg is $1.4 million.
Oh, so $3.3 million.
So you're looking at $3.3 million. Yeah.
Any further questions from council or direction from Mr. Ramsdale?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, Tom.
As I mentioned, I'm sure I'll see you in the not too distant future.
Come on back. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. All right, let's move ahead in our agenda. We're up to agenda item 6. Agenda item 6 has to do with our new 2 million gallon elevated water tank, and there are three different contracts here that the service director has recommendations for approval in ordinances tonight. The first one has to do with the award of the contract itself. Mr. Aller has a written report in your packets, but let's let him give you the highlights for this first issue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The 21st of December, we opened bids on the project. Two contractors that were listed as acceptable contractors both submitted bids. Those bids, only a $2.7 million project, estimated project actually of $3.8 million. Those bids were only $21,000 apart. It's obviously very close. The low bid submitted was by CB&I Constructors Incorporated, based in Texas. Their local office, if you call it that, is in Illinois. And the bid was $2,712,000. I have had past experience with CB&I Constructors, and they most recently completed the same type of tank that we're getting in the city of Oregon. They constructed their tank over there and just completed that this past summer, I think it was. So I would recommend awarding the construction contract to CB&I Constructors.
This is specialized contractors that bid on this work. There were no local contractors that were able to submit a bid and do the work for spec.
That's correct. Very specialized work. There are three or four contractors in the whole country. Some of the construction methods of the other companies were not acceptable to either our design engineer or myself, so that they're not listed.
Bids came in substantially under the estimate, so that's good news for city water users and non-city water users. We had talked in the past that the erection time was estimated to be 600 days. Is that still what they're saying?
The completion time for CB&I Constructors was actually 650 days. That was the completion of the project mid-November, November 15th, I believe you calculated today. The second low bid, because it was only $21,000, I did take a look at completion time. And their completion time was roughly about 60 days less. Backing that up puts us in mid-September. We're still going through two summers of not having that elevated tank. And I didn't feel that the 60 days in that instance would have been worth the $21,000 additional dollars. If that time had been able to save us another summer, my recommendation may have been a little different, but that's not the case.
So this is fall 13 that we're...
Yes.
So we'll still have the summers of 2012 and 2013 to get through on the current water tank?
Correct.
Okay.
What kind of bonding stuff do we have with these out-of-state contract? I mean, I assume the bonded requirements in these contracts are?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to be a plaintiff in Texas. Where is Landmark Structures based?
Texas.
They're both in Texas. I mean, I love the amounts of the bids.
There's no further questions. We do have ordinance number one, 2012, to award this contract. Mr. Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'd like to happily introduce ordinance number one, 2012. All members of council previously receiving copies. I'll read by title only. Accepting the bid of CB&I Contractors Incorporated and awarding the contract for the 2-million-gallon elevated water tank project to same, authorizing the expenditures for the improvements in the amount of $2,712,000, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number one, 2012, be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage ordinance 1-2012.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanum.
Yeah, another question as I sit here. We've already bonded this project, correct? And we have that money in hand. Okay, so if we accept it, so what are we going to do with $1 million?
Mr. Smith was contemplating that last week after we got the bids in. Have you come up with options?
I don't have all the info yet. You know, back before the finance firm turned upside down, we would have to calculate a rebate, an arbitrage rebate. But, you know, the way it is now, your earnings don't even exceed your interest rate on a bond. So
right.
That's not a piece anymore. I haven't been able to talk to our bond council about this yet, but when we issue the bond, we get 2 years to spend the money. I'm not sure about the access. I just wanted the answer to that on that.
Do we have, are we, and I don't know enough about the bonds to know if, can we retire some portion of this? Do we have that option?
That's another question I just don't have the answer to yet.
Okay, well, I would like...
Because we still have the OPWC grant and...
Right.
And interest rate loan, too, that we won't be receiving those proceeds.
Okay. I think this is a matter that we ought to continue to follow. How would Mr. Mayor, how would you like to report back to us on this?
I need the finance director to give me the options that are legally available to us and bring those back to you at a future meeting. Another thing you might want to contemplate is the effect on our rate structure. We may want to, we take another look at that as well, since it's going to get done for less money. We don't know the exact number until the project's done. We need to first get the project on the ground and make sure there's no foundation problems or anything. But it's going to be less money than planned, no doubt about it.
I would hope that within, 30 days, we can get some grip on what some of our options might be.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable time?
I'm looking into those, but I just don't have any idea.
Okay, I would just like to note that in the minutes, that 30 days we'll revisit this issue. Thank you.
Very good. Up to agenda item. I'm sorry. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 1-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 1-2012 is approved. Up to agenda item 6C. There are two engineering services contracts that the service director is recommending. The first is with Jones and Henry Engineer to provide shop drawing review, pay estimate review, and project clarifications, as well as a daily an inspector on the project during construction. Mr. Aller.
Yes, Jones and Henry Engineers were the design firm, or was the design firm on the project, and they had submitted a proposal of $181,000 to provide construction engineering services. The office staff will be handling reviewing shop drawings, making sure that what's being submitted is according to the specifications, reviewing monthly pay estimates, and any questions that come up during construction from the contractor. They'll be taking a look at specifications and clarifying what the proper answers are. They'll also be providing a daily inspector that will be on the job site at all times while construction is going on, and coordinating any testing, concrete testing, or things of that nature that need to be done as well throughout the project. Again, Jones and Henry, long-standing reputable firm in the city of Toledo, and I would recommend approval of the contract.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance 2-2012. All members of council previously receiving copy, I'll read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Jones and Henry Engineer Limited to provide construction engineering services for the 2 million gallon elevated water tank, appropriating funds therefore in the amount not to exceed $181,000, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 2-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Ordinance 2-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 2-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 2-2012 is approved. The next engineering service is one that we don't normally see. I assume it's because of the height and the weights involved with this one. You're recommending a special material testing firm to review the construction as it goes as well.
That's correct. Dixon Engineering is more, I would call them more of a metallurgical type inspection company. They'll make sure that the thickness of the steel is consistent as it should be throughout the, each level of that tank has a different thickness that's required. They'll monitor the steel as it's produced and ready for shipment before it even shows up on the site to make sure that it's the specifications. They'll also inspect all of the welding that takes place on the project to make sure it's a consistent weld and a proper weld with no weak spots, if you will. Obviously, we would not want to find that out after the fact. There's glass cleaning that's required on the project. They have to get us a glass clean to a, what's called white steel, and they'll inspect that to make sure that everything's proper before any of the coatings ever go on. And then once the coatings go on, they also inspect the coatings to make sure that they're at the proper thickness and to properly protect the tank. I've also worked with Dixon Engineering in the past on projects, and they were also involved the last time that the city painted the existing elevated tank. They were the materials inspection firm on that project as well. And I would recommend approval of this contract.
Are they a local firm?
They are based in Medina, Ohio. Yes. I am not aware, there's one other firm that I'm aware of, not located in the city. I am not aware of the firm in Cook County that provides the services.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance 3-2012, accepting the proposal of Dixon Engineering Incorporated to provide material and construction inspection services for the 2 million gallon elevated water tank project, appropriating the funds therefore in the amount of $27,702, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. So moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 3-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Ordinance 3-2012.
Second.
So moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 3-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 3-2012 is approved. Do you have any estimate when the project might actually begin construction?
I would anticipate we'll be 30 to 45 days on the contract, and then probably another 45 days for anything to actually.
So springtime, and that's an appropriate time to start construction.
Yeah, I would anticipate something.
Very good. Moving on to agenda item 7, this is a related project, but not the same project. It is the water lines that we installed along Centennial Road to loop our water lines in the western part of our district, and they are also providing service to properties along Centennial Road, as well as providing a connection to the new elevated water tank. And what Kevin is in back here with this is a contract for people that want to connect to that new water line. So, Mr. Aller.
Yeah, what I have before you is a proposed ordinance to establish a cost recovery area for that water line that was constructed on Little and Centennial Roads. The project began on Little Road at the Quarry Side Drive is located, extended west to Centennial, and then north on Centennial to Fossil Park Drive, and then back along city-owned property from that point on. The properties along that route do receive a potential benefit to the property by having that water line available. There are times where municipalities or utility owners will just do a straight assessment of that cost, and the property owner pays regardless if they utilize it or not. In this instance, we're establishing a cost recovery area whereby if the property owner does decide to connect to the water line, then they would pay for the benefit of having that water line available to them at that point. The rate that's established in the ordinance is $48.18 per benefit front foot. And that cost will escalate at the rate of 3.4%, which is the most recent financing rate that the city was involved in with the bond. Past cost recovery areas have established an interest rate of 7% annually. I thought in this instance where the market has obviously adjusted, that we should adjust with it. So asking approval for that cost recovery area that's indicated, as well as the cost indicated. Should be noted, we will not recoup 100% of the cost of that water line. It's simply the cost of the water line across those properties that's being recouped. We will not recoup 100% of the cost of that water line, because that, there is a benefit to the city as well for that water line.
And some properties may never opt into it either.
That's correct.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess that was my question, because we had to build this water line anyway, right? So how did we allocate I guess what I'm trying to figure out is whether what we're charging these folks is the cost, a percentage of the cost of what it cost us, or a fair charge for making water available to them when we were building the water line to service the water tower and create this closed loop system. I mean, the fact that we happened to run in front of, and these folks don't live in the city anyway, do they?
They're all township.
Yeah, but are we recouping 100% of the cost, prorated cost of the water line in front of their property? Or did we discount that somewhat because we're building a water line, because we were closing the system and we needed the water line for the water tower?
The cost of the it's not 100% recoupment on the cost to cross the water line, but it is probably in the 90-95% cost range. What I did was I took the total cost of the project. I automatically deducted anything directly attributable to the elevated tank, such as we put in some valve that was required for the elevated tank. I took that out. Any pipe runs that were strictly to get back to the tank site, I took that out. So those costs weren't included in this cost recovery figure. The pipe that ran across their property, that all 100% of that cost was included in what was left to be able to recover. So we're probably, I didn't do a calculation, but we're probably 90-95% recouping that cost.
Was there any
that's less? Not uncommon. That's standard, if you will. If a system is going to close a loop or going to extend to an elevated tank, I'll use Mitchell Road as an example, that line was assessed at 100% of the construction cost. So it's not uncommon to recoup. The properties receive a benefit.
I don't doubt they receive. Yeah. Is there anything about sizing that pipe? Is that pipe there the same as the pipe in front of my house on Tamway?
It's probably bigger. If it's a 12-inch pipe, you're inside a subdivision, you may be 8-inch. But 12-inch is not, Lucas County doesn't run anything smaller than 12-inch off main roads anymore. So it's not oversized in order to accommodate the elevated tank.
Okay.
But it needs to be made clear that they'll never be charged if they opt not to connect.
That's correct.
So
if they choose to never connect, they'll never pay the cost. And the rate...
Well, I want to be fair. What I'm looking for, is this a fair, is this a fair recovery for providing them water service? And I think you're saying if you took out the costs as much as possible to benefit the system. And so this $48 per front footage number really is just equivalent of what it would cost to provide water service to those properties.
That's correct. I believe that.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I just wanted to make sure that you're done. Because we want them to buy the water. And we can tell them it's fair.
And we can tell them you don't have to pay it unless you tap in, which some communities don't tell them.
Right.
Are these people currently all in well water?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, yeah. The ones that have existing homes and or businesses would be on well. There are some open properties involved.
Thank you, Ken.
Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 4-2012. All members of council previously received and copy or read by title only. Establishing the Central and Little Roads Water Service Area and the frontage connection fee for the area. Authorizing the Director of Public Services to adjust the frontage connection fee to reflect the actual construction cost. Authorizing the Director of Public Services to establish a lateral connection fee for those who are permitted to tap directly into the Centennial and Little Roads water line, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 4-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance 4-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 4-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 4-2012 is approved. Agenda item 8 and agenda item 9 are proposed leases that council needs to authorize for city-owned property. The first is ordinance 5-2012. For property at 5703 Main Street. That would be the city-owned building here at the northwest corner of Main and Maplewood, and this is for Suite E. Mr. Moles?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As council is aware, we have allowed this property to be managed under a management agreement with the historical village. We retain ownership of the property. The tenant is a new LLC, Biomaterialize, which is, I think, is an outgrowth of the former tenant that was there, has been there, Applied Biomaterials. They have chosen to relocate back to Michigan, but the same managing partner, Chris Alto, who was there before, has reappeared under the new LLC Biomaterialized. The lease is for 1 year. The other lease expired. She fulfilled her contractual obligations under the previous lease, and this is a new lease for 1 year for the same rate as the other lease was. It comes out to $12 a square foot gross per month and per year. And it was negotiated by the historical village. It seems appropriate and consistent with what we have done in the past. So I would recommend that we authorize this lease agreement, as we have no present need for that space.
Jim, if we were to sell this property, we could assign this lease.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Fully assign
it. It would go with the property.
Right there.
Mrs. Hustle.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 5-2012, authorizing a lease between the City of Sylvania as Lacer and Biomaterialized LLC as leasee of 5703 North Main Street, Sylvania, Ohio, to be used as office space, determining said city-owned property not to be needed for municipal purposes during the time of the proposed lease, authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to sign such a lease on behalf of the City of Sylvania, Ohio, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 5-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 5-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 5-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 5-2012 is approved. Agenda item 9 is also a lease. This is for the Limelight Boutique, which is a freestanding building north of the museum. And they have been in operation in there and had a lease from the city since April 19th, 2010. But the business has changed ownership and the lease expired, and this is a new lease for an existing business. Is that it?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. It's for 1 year. The rental rate remains the same.
Any further comments or questions about this lease? Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 6, 2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Authorizing a lease between the city of Sylvania as Lacer and Linnell Tomaszewski, doing business as the Limelight Boutique as leasee of 5725 North Main Street, Sylvania, Ohio, for the purpose of retail sales of boutique-type items and services determining said city-owned property not to be needed for municipal purposes during the time of the proposed lease. Authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to sign such a lease on behalf of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 6, 2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 6, 2012.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 6, 2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 6-2012 is approved. Agenda item 10 is proposed ordinance 7-2012. And this is to authorize payment of our annual transportation planning assessment to TMACOG in the amount of $2,212. Mr. Aller, any comments about this?
No, just that TMACOG has... has improved their functions and operations immensely over the course of their existence. I mean, I don't know that there was much benefit, but in the past six plus years, it has really turned around. They provide some great services and great assistance to all of the communities in Northwest Ohio. We recommend continuing.
It's also my understanding that to receive state or federal dollars, you must be part of a COG and participate in this kind of a planning district.
That's correct.
So this is a requirement, and it's certainly it's the real reason part of was established and one of the services that they continue. TMACOG. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what did I say?
Part of the title.
I meant TMACOG, yes.
And my understanding is that in order for us to receive some of the benefits we get from the state and federal government for our road construction,
correct,
we need to belong to a planning organization. And what type of, what are the amounts of those benefits that we will anticipate receiving next year?
Next year, in the way of transportation funds, I don't know that we will receive any next year. However, we have $250,000 coming the following year. We have a potential $250,000 coming in 16.
Last year we had funds for Silica Road improvements.
Okay, that was before. Okay, if there was TIF money in there,
yep.
So that's next year. I don't believe there is any TIF money. I don't believe we have any projects that have those funds involved. But we do have $500,000 coming over the next 3 or 4 years.
Could we not join this year and join next?
I don't know that would be looked upon. I think we would be pulled off the list. Once we remove membership, the project falls off the list.
So if we were to withdraw from this organization now, we would not be eligible for that funding next year, is what you found.
I don't know the definite answer to that. I believe that's the case, but I'm not familiar with federal funding requirements to unequivocally answer yes or no.
Well, I know it's not a lot of money, but we're looking for a little money in a lot of places. And I know, and I don't have any doubt that Democrat provides a lot of good services. I would, these are the types of memberships that we have to look at. And make sure that they make sense for us going forward. I know during my time on council, I routinely voted for these, I don't think I've ever marked a question mark next to this item before. I have a question mark next to this item.
I don't have a question mark next to this item. I think that our short-term and long-term gain are much greater than the $2,200 cost. Just a point of clarification, this demonstrates in this document some of the upcoming projects that Team McCog will be involved with in the city of Sylvania, am I correct?
That's correct.
So if you're taking the time to look through this, you can see in the upcoming years, there's significant dollars coming to us, and I think that this is a moot discussion. I hope that Mr. Mayor, you'll consider moving forward with this.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we not do that. What I asked is whether we could participate on, whether we could choose the times that we participate. And I understand there's money coming, Mary. Okay, I didn't ignore the document. I prepared for the meeting, and I don't appreciate the suggestion that I didn't. Okay, what I'm asking is whether it's essential that we belong this year in order to receive those future benefits. I don't think that's an unreasonable question.
All right, let's proceed on with the introduction and vote on this if we can. Mr. Milner, this is a transportation issue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's introduce ordinance number 7-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the payment of transportation planning assessments for 2012 in the amount of $2,212 to Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
So we moved and seconded that ordinance number 7-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage ordinance number 7-2012.
Second.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 7-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 7-2012 is approved. Turn to page 2 of our agenda. We're now up to agenda item 11. We have proposed resolution 1-2012. This is an annual ordinance to request an advance of funds collected by the county auditor's property tax collection. Mr. Smith.
Yep. This is a kind of a housekeeping ordinance that we do every year. The auditor feature reminds us that we need to have this on file in order to receive advances when they start collecting the real estate taxes. Otherwise, they don't have to advance those funds until the settlement. So this helps us with that cash flow, gives the money to us during the process of collection instead of waiting for the settlement.
Very good. If there are no questions, Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 1-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Requesting the county auditor to make advances to the treasurer of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that resolution number 1-2012. Be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage resolution number 1-2012.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 1-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 1-2012 is approved. Agenda item 12 is committee reports, and we did add 12A to set a meeting of the Community Relations Committee. Mr. Lucci.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Council members will remember that we had two appointments to the Board of Zoning Appeals at the end of last year. We only had, the intention of reappointing both of our members and found out from Mr. Kozak that he was not able to continue on. So we've solicited and are in the process of soliciting letters of interest from the community. That process ends on the 10th. What I'd like to do is schedule a meeting between the 10th and our regular council meeting on the 18th to try to make a recommendation for that. And that's Mr. Brown, Ms. Capellini, and Mrs. Hussman. Would either Thursday the 12th in the morning or afternoon work for you all?
Morning.
Katie, Sandy, 8 o'clock. Can we get all of our letters together by then, if the cutoff is the 10th of March?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. At this point, we're not getting a lot of interest. I think we have one letter. So anything that we can do to sort of reinforce the fact that this is an appointment that some folks might be interested in, I guess, would be helpful. But in the meantime, we will both go back and look at folks who were interested before and these new people who are interested and try to make recommendations. So 8 o'clock on the 12th. Here in council chambers.
Is there any other committee business or reports at this time? Agenda item 13 is committee referrals. Mr. Miller, any new items for referral to council committee?
I have none, Mr. Mayor.
Committee chairman? Hearing none, let's move on to added agenda item 14, which was distributed tonight. It's proposed ordinance 8-2012, and it is a compensation ordinance. Mr. Eichenow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is our annual adjustment to our position and compensation plan, and it represents all non-union city employees and court employees whose positions are included in our compensation plan on this page 2. They are primarily in positions in our court, along with our finance, personnel, tax, water service, parks and forestry. It amounts to about 29 full-time employees. What it represents is a 1% pay increase effective January 1st, along with a one-time lump sum payment of $450 to all full-time employees in those categories. And we're recommending passage.
Since someone else has asked the question, this is for our clerical and office support staff. It is appropriate, I believe, that we do not punish these folks for not belonging to a union and that we give them the same benefits. As Mr. Lucci stated at the last meeting that we gave to our union people, this does not include administrative personnel. Those are under review at the moment, and we'll be back to you if we want to make any changes.
Mr. Mayor, I have a number of questions about this ordinance. I have not seen this until...
It was just distributed this evening.
Until this evening. Having now seen what's the total cost? I have a number of questions about this, and I would like to have an opportunity to talk with Mr. Eichenauer about these before I vote on these. I would prefer to defer action on this until our next meeting so that I have an opportunity to talk with Mr. Eichenauer about my questions. If not, I guess I would be happy to address those I guess I would do that now.
Your first question was total cost. Do we have that number, Mr. Smith, or Mr. Eichenhour?
Yes, it's about $27,500. And broken down, I think it's about $22,500 from the general fund, and the rest would be distributed between the water, sewer, and tax funds.
Mr. Smith, were these built into the budget?
Yes.
If I recall correctly, the total, what was the total cost of doing this across the board for employees that we included in the budget? This is 27.5 out of how much?
It might have been around 75,000, but I'm not clear on that. I thought it was
more than that.
Does that include the union people as well?
No.
That number? I didn't think it did. So this is non-union personnel?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Okay.
That the non-union personnel were... That's $75,000 is not the number I recall.
Again, it may not be. That's not a number I really worked on, so I'm just sort of... I couldn't say. This is the only number I really worked on for tonight.
I would prefer to have some time to ask Mr. Eichenhour some questions about these positions and about these amounts. Obviously, council can do what it chooses.
Yeah, Doug, just a clarification. I had asked Mr. Eichenhour to call you before the meeting tonight and discuss this. Did he do that?
He called me when I was in my car going from one meeting to another to tell me that this was going to be on the agenda. I didn't get to see this document until I walked in here this evening. I would have, if I had seen this on Thursday or Friday, I would have been able to ask Mr. Eichenhour those questions earlier today or yesterday for that matter.
Mm-hmm. I would only say to members of council that this is virtually identical to every other position adjustment that we've done since I've been on council here for 8 years. I think the format is no different than what we've seen before. I think we talked pretty extensively about this at the budget hearing and have certainly discussed it philosophically. So, you know, if members of council want to delay it, that's fine, but I'd like to introduce it and move for passage, Mr. Mayor.
You need to read it, then.
I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 8-2012. Copies have been made available to members of council previously, so therefore I'll read by title only. Making certain position and compensation pay plan changes, making certain salary, wage, and other service compensation adjustments to the codified ordinances of Sylvania, 1979, as amended, in other ordinances by granting a 1% pay increase and provide a one-time lump sum payment of $450 on the first full pay period of 2012 to all non-union city employees and court employees whose positions are included in the list of occupational titles of Section 139.02A of the Codified Ordinances of Sylvania, which increase is reflected in the annual wage rate schedule 4 of section 139.10D of the Sylvania Codified Ordinances, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 8-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Milner?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Cappellini?
Yes.
Hingham?
No.
Lupke?
Yes.
Westfall?
Yes.
Hussman?
Yes.
Vote is 6-1, and the motion to read by title only and waive the second and third readings passes. Is there a motion for final approval?
Yes, I'd like to move final approval of Ordinance Number 8-2012.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final approval of Ordinance Number 8-2012 as an emergency measure. Mr. Hanum?
Yes, I'm going to vote against this ordinance because I'm not prepared to vote on it, and I have some questions about the ordinance. In general, I am, I've been clear that I'm opposed to providing this pay increase to employees. I had specific questions about some of these positions, which I will follow up with Mr. Eichenauer in order to be prepared for future discussions on this topic. But tonight, I'm voting no because I'm not prepared, as opposed to, and I've not had an opportunity to prepare because the ordinance was not included in our packet and was handed to me literally as our meeting was beginning. So I have not had an opportunity to ask the types of questions that I would normally ask about an ordinance of this type. So I'm voting against it, not suggesting that any of these individuals shouldn't be entitled to a raise, certainly not based on the sex of any of these individuals, and being perfectly clear that I continue to have questions about this pay increase going forward.
Let's call a question, Mr. Mayor.
All right, there's a motion and a second for final approval. I need the clerk to call the roll.
Hussman?
Yes.
Westfall?
Yes.
Lucas?
Yes.
Tatum?
No.
Capellini?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
The vote is 6-1, so the motion passes, and ordinance number 8-2012 is approved as an emergency measure. That brings us to the end of our agenda for this evening. There are a number of informational items, first three of which are notices of council committee or subcommittee meetings coming up. And the first ones are this Thursday morning at 7:25 a.m. There's a public hearing for the health care revenue bonds. 7:30 is a committee meeting of the whole to discuss the 2012 operating budget, I'm sorry, but also be thinking about the 2013 budget as well. I think it's look at both of them.
Right. Mr. Mayor, a question about that. Are we going to start by talking about our community programs? Is that my understanding?
I believe
okay. Yes. This first meeting will be talking about community programs.
Okay, and will Trustee Genewine be here?
Trustee Genewine has been invited, and I will reconfirm with him again tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
We also put in front of your places this evening the tax, final tax, Division of Taxation report for 2011. You can see that we did have a $338,700 increase from 2010. I calculate that to be 4.2%. That is a positive number, and how does that rank with 2008 or 2009?
That gets us back. It exceeds 2008.
So we are now higher than we were back in 2008.
Yep. Back to the level we were before, though.
And is it much as a couple hundred thousand dollars? That's what you projected.
Yeah, 2008, we had about $4 million.
Okay, well, that's the balance this year, but you're saying 8.6 was the collection. That's okay. Understood. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Moved and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Wednesday, January 18th, 2012 at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for attending.